Welcome to La Cosa Nostra. I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah.
And we are covering Catherine Bigelow's
1991
Point Break. Catherine Bigelow was the first female director to win an Oscar.
When did she win?
She won for The Hurt Locker in 2012?
Yeah. Eight.
Eight, 2008. And when I saw The Hurt Locker before I saw Point Break, right? And I love The Hurt Locker.
That's really funny.
It's a really good movie. I actually love The Hurt Locker. It's amazing when I watch it. I saw that it was Point Break and I was like, hey, isn't that movie from Hot Fuzz? I cannot believe that she made that.
Oh, I didn't even register that until you had that scene in Hot Fuzz where it's with the shooting up in the air. I didn't even register that it was the same. Because I have not seen Hot Fuzz in like a year now. I have to go back and see it. But it was like, huh, this is the thing. This is the thing where they shoot in the air for like absolutely no reason. Huh, cool.
So first opinions on this, having just seen it.
This is gonna be a hard one. This is genuinely hard because I, by all accounts, can't really call it good, but I can't call it bad either. It's
so enjoyable.
This movie is competent. It works half of the time. There are bits in it that I really do enjoy. There's bits that I really don't enjoy. It's a pretty nice film. There we go. Just put that on the DVD. It's a pretty nice film.
Pretty nice film.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice film. There were bits like I genuinely enjoyed. But as a package, it doesn't completely work. I feel it either should have just gone the super serious route, like as a serious like action film, or it should have gone like completely like Cuckoo Bananas. Like completely like off the rails. Like half the time we were moving into Surf Ninjas territory, but we never got there. You know, I just feel like if you're gonna go to Surf Ninjas territory, just go all the way. You know, make this a silly, goofy like surfing thing. But I don't think it really completely goes there, because in the second half it tries to make you care about characters that they didn't really establish that we're supposed to care about. Like, for example, like, the relationship between, like, Keanu Reeves' character and, like, what was it, like, Rosie? That's it? See, and I just watched this movie. Like, Tyler, shoot. I just watched this movie as well. Yeah. They had two scenes together. And then, like, they're suddenly a couple. And I'm like, wait, no. Like, we had no... And half of those scenes were just, like... them just surfing.
Yeah. But don't lie to me. The cool factor of them like surfing around is really unlike it's so.
Oh cool. No, it's really cool. And he's the cinematographer for
and
this
the
thing,
cinematography I was really for that it. Was like for something that is just guys surfing did not have to go
yeah,
that hard.
Yeah, so the person,
especially the night sequence when they're just like. Bobbing on the waves, going up. Oh my god, so hard.
So the person who does cinematography is somebody called Donald Peterman, and he did cinematography for films that you might know, like Splash, Cocoon, Get Shorty, Men in Black, and strangely enough, the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is weird because that's a movie that just looks like it had Vaseline just smeared all over the cameras. You can't see anything in that thing, but you know, while this one is nice, bright, and shiny, I can't see anything in that movie. Which maybe that's for the best because maybe I don't want to see anything in that movie.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, after How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I go insane as well. Yeah. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as well. So
quite successful.
Yeah, these aren't movies that really stand out in terms of their cinematography, but like they're still, I'm going to use the word again, competent. Competent.
Don't do this to me. This is my favorite 90s flick of all the 90s flicks.
Again,
and it is
like,
just so amazing.
There's a reason why I would prefer like a stupid 90s flick like Space Jam over it. Because Space Jam is a 90s flick that goes all the way into stupid territory. It just does not care whatsoever. If you like it just does not care if like you're laughing or you're crying because like I want it to end. It just completely goes all the way with it. And this movie, it doesn't go far enough, you know? Should we talk about like Keanu Reeves' performance?
So or, like, I know you guys are gonna like...
Should we go through what he did before? Because
I think this performance is not that bad. I think a lot of people give him way too much crap for being a bad actor. And yes, it's true. He's not winning an Oscar anytime soon.
And true, it got so much.
He's won Oscars? I'm not sure.
No, don't.
But, you know, for a film that is just cool. That is all it's for.
You got to give it to him. He did. Okay, like before this, I guess the biggest thing that people would know that he did was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I still never seen, but it looks really fun.
It works because he sort of plays himself.
And it's kind of hilarious that he did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey the exact same year as Point Break. Like, those are like pretty different performances.
But to be fair, yeah, exactly. He has a lot of ability.
But when it comes to the drama in this thing, I am so out of it.
To be fair, he is a comedy actor. I don't think a lot of people...
I know.
Because he does John Wick, and that's like what he's known for with the modern audience, which is... I would argue he's more known for John Wick.
He is genuinely awful in The Matrix. I cannot stand that film.
What does this guy expect? Like, leave him alone.
I watched Matrix Resurrections, and I was just praying for it to end because it kept going on and on.
Yeah, okay,
and on,
but The Matrix
and it's just
is
like,
awful.
It's, oh my!
I do not like The Matrix.
Thank you. And like, this is genuinely the only podcast in the world that you will find where people just don't like people that don't like The Matrix.
I think it's heavily overrated.
So overrated.
And everyone who says, you know, like, oh, The Matrix is better than Inception can eat their heart out.
That movie in particular took off so much. I will never understand that.
It's so much of a better movie than... Because my problem with The Matrix is that the plot point and the coolness of the film is the same thing. We're expected to be like, oh, look, they're all in like a computer simulation. And the plot is, oh, look, they're in a computer simulation. As in Inception, it's, oh, look, they're dreaming. But there's this seriously cool James Bond plot where they're like diving through brain cells and like going almost brain dead and like shooting subconscious. That is sick. And it's all in a dream. So cool. The Matrix, it's like, oh, look, we make art movies too. Like, yeah. Come on now.
I just want to say it's not good when like I think your best movie is playing Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic the Hedgehog.
That is 3. Not his best movie. Shut the hell up.
I don't know, man. Completely unironically, I think that movie's amazing. No. You can't laugh because have you seen? You need to actually watch it. It's like a properly adult movie. I swear to God, man.
You're insane.
I swear it's a good movie.
No, I'm not having. No, I'm genuinely not taking your slander. Keanu Reeves, not only is he like not that bad of an actor, he's way better than Tom Cruise at stunts. I don't want to hear it. He's so good.
I don't know. Yeah, but yeah.
And in this movie, his performance is not that bad.
It's not bad because it's an action movie, so it doesn't need you. It doesn't need you to like.
You're just bringing the film. You're just bringing the vibe down, man.
No. Like,
this film is great. In my opinion, it looks amazing.
Okay, it has
a really solid plot. It's not like Speed, which I love Speed. It's my guilty pleasure, but it does suck. The plot is awful. I don't know how they pitch that. It's like Jaws, but the shark is a man and they're stuck on a bus. Yeah. Like, I mean, it sucks. And his performance isn't that good. Sandra Bullock, not that good in that movie either. It kind of sucks, but it's enjoyable. Point Break, I didn't see it coming instantly. I saw it maybe 25 minutes
There was really only two options for who the bad guys could have been. And yep, it was second option. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that wasn't really the point for me. Like, I didn't go into this movie and like, oh, there's going to be an incredible mystery. They're going to find out. I was like, no, it's not going to be that
big of a deal.
It's, I'm here for the vibes. And when the vibes came, the vibes were really, really fun. Yeah, I liked those surfing bits.
And the bits where they're, you know, robbing the bank as the dead presidents. Yeah. That was sick.
If I had a nickel for every time I talked about Richard Nixon on a podcast, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's something that happened twice, right? It's... I'm not a crook.
Okay. I think it's just so good. I can't pin down what I love about it. I just love it. I think Bodhi is just so cool. I don't know if he's that well written or if I'm just gaslighting myself to believe he's well written.
I genuinely had this moment, like, and I was just thinking to myself, was, I hope I'm getting this right, Bodhisattva, was that like a cool thing to call somebody in the 90s?
Do you not understand the reference?
No, I'm completely lost here. Somebody,
so I'm not going to say the Sattva whole thing because it's annoying. Bodhi is referencing is it Buddhist?
I think so.
It's, well, okay, guys, if I get this wrong, I don't do PNR, so leave me alone. it's a Buddhist, I believe, monk who, like, achieved enlightenment. And the reason they're calling him that is because he's this, like, super zen.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He's this like super zen dude who just is one with the waves.
There we go. Because I was genuinely like, confused.
It is like a big thing.
Yeah.
It's quite a large deal.
With this movie, I was just looking at like who was like kind of in the running for like getting the role of Johnny Utah. And they kind of went through like all like kind of like, apart from Tom Cruise, like all like those like male heartthrobs of like the 90s, if you can call it that. So what do you think of like if this had, okay, so we got like Charlie Sheen, Val Kilmer, Matthew Broderick, which would have, I genuinely would have just jumped off a bridge if I had to watch that, and Johnny Depp. I can see this with Val Kilmer though. I can genuinely
Can see Val Kilmer as Bodhi, but I could not see Johnny Utah.
Yeah, because after seeing like something like Top Gun, like I guess that's fair enough. Like,
The cast for this film is actually the most 90s cast humanly possible.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, for one.
Because God knows, nobody would ever cast Carrie Busey in a movie after 1990.
Patrick Swayze, with blonde hair down to his, like long blonde hair, which is part of one of the characters that I've, like, I just had, like, from the age of, like, 14, I just had the biggest stream of characters with long hair. And I was just like, I must grow my hair out. So that's why I've grown my hair out. Gary Busey. Then you've got Anthony Kiedis is in this film of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Just a random turnout of just being in this movie for some reason. And John C. McGinley is also in this film. Who I believe, I might get this wrong, is in Beverly Hills Cop. Is he?
I don't think so. I'm just looking. You might be right, but... No, he's not.
From Scrubs?
Yeah, he is.
He is not in Beverly Hills Cop.
No, he's not.
Who? Dr. Fox. There's a guy who looks a lot like him then. So the cast is good, obviously. Yeah. The writing, I do enjoy. I think I might just be a sucker for a 90s flick, but like, it's so good.
Yeah, I guess like when it comes to my 90s flicks, if we're going to make them 90s, we're going to make them really 90s. We're going to have like...
But this just ages quite well.
Yeah, again, this is aged like really well. I guess surfing people talk like this, I had no clue. I always thought everybody was mocking it, but if this
is actually correct, how surfing people talk.
Like sure.
This is very, very accurate. I think at the time it was crazy because almost every film that was made about surfing people just mocked them.
Well, no, because this is 1991, so everything that mocks them would come after this movie.
No.
Yeah.
80s and 60s stuff just mocked them.
Oh, yeah, like those like beach movies.
Yeah, like, Point Break was the first film that was like actually took them seriously to an extent.
Yeah.
And like the sequence where they're like jumping out of a plane, that is so... And also the fact that it wasn't like we're jumping out of a plane like a Red Bull video. It's like actually got like soulful music and there's like a meaning to it. And then... You then see that scene again, but with like a sinister tone when he jumps. We've got to talk about it. Keanu Reeves jumps out of a plane without a parachute and somehow manages to wrestle Patrick Swayze in the air and they both survive. I do think that beats out the Indiana Jones boat jump just by a little bit for the craziest thing we've covered.
Oh, it's hard. Oh my god, that's really hard. Okay, I guess we've got a little rank. Okay,
a little ranking.
Okay, just wait till we get to like Crystal Skull, where we have to deal with the fridge. But like,
to be fair,
is it dumb? No, they undid it quick enough where I can feasibly believe that they could survive that. It, because when they fell down, it sounded like it hurt. It genuinely sounded like it hurt.
They also got up and just instantly kept going.
Yeah, it was no, but it clearly did hurt. With Indiana Jones, they fall out of a goddamn plane, no impact, and everybody comes out fine. I think the raft kind of beats it out just by a bit, because I can feasibly see not coming out with more injuries, definitely, but I don't. I feel this is, it's a little more realistic.
Have any of you seen Yesterday? That little Netflix flick that came out.
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago. Yeah.
So the dad in that film plays Johnny Utah in the Point Break remake.
Oh, should we talk about the remake or should we talk about his like box office first?
I think we should just kind of ignore the remake, to be honest. It looks terrible.
Okay, let's talk about box office.
I was just going to talk about for a second. Yeah, okay. You were speaking about vibes. The immaculate drip in this film. Like, we've talked about it in mid-90s, how they just dress amazingly. It's just unbelievable how like cool they look.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Even they pull off wetsuits, which is like borderline impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Like it actually looks cool. And the surfboard when he just comes into the office at work and they're all just like crashing out that he's got a surfboard and he's like, "You're paying me to do this." Like it's so cool. It's just a very, very enjoyable movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know, like. If you've seen Baywatch, you can pull off a wetsuit if you want. You can pull off if you want to. You can.
No, but also just like the surfer dress is really cool with the like baggy long shirts. And just before we go into statistics, I wanted to talk about the final beach scene at the very end of the film. Fine. What did you think of that? With the
stupid lock him up. What? Just me? Okay.
Was so cool.
Wait, is that the bit where like he's
the bit where he's like chasing down for a year and then he finds him, he's like, "You gotta let me surf the wave, man. You gotta let me surf the wave."
That guy like behind bars immediately.
And he's like, "Okay, you got," because he knows he's not gonna come back. He knows he's gonna die in that wave. He's gonna get double hold down, done, cooked.
Yeah, dead. Okay, that's one thing I didn't register.
He goes like, okay, go. And they're like, we've lost him. He's like, "He's not coming back." And it's like just such a cool scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm done." And then he's like, "You still surf every day." Like, so good.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. Keanu Reeves was on something else in this movie. And Patrick Swayze was
When I say he's a bad actor, I talk about, like, dramatic stuff.
He was clearly...
Like, action, like, you don't really need to be, like, an amazing actor for.
Like,
so
also, the writing in this is so good. To an extent. Like Bodhi says, if you want the ultimate, you've got to be willing to pay the ultimate price. It's not tragic to die doing what you love. And then he dies doing what he loves. So cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So cool. Okay.
So performance. So like this movie cost $24 million and it didn't open great. It opened at number 4. Wait, before you look at box office results, I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you. So
oh dear.
It came in at number 4. Okay. The movie, I'm going to test you if you can get the first three. The third movie is a movie that, it's a main movie from the 90s that kind of defined, like, African-American culture. And it has the name Boys in it.
Boys in the Hood?
Yes.
Yes!
Number 2 is a reissue of a Disney film from the 60s that has dogs in it.
Fox and the Hound? No, 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. Catching. And number 1 is a sequel to one of the biggest and most iconic movies of the 1980s and directed by James Cameron. And stars Arnold.
Titanic.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Titanic a sequel to?
Yeah, exactly. I actually want to see this. I want to know what the prequel is to Titanic now.
History.
So,
Your grandma's lived it, and now it's time for you to live it in cinemas now.
Yeah, so it didn't come in the top 10 of that year. So the top 10 is The Naked Gun 2 at number 10. Father of the Bride at number 9. Number 7 is The Addams Family. Number 6 is Hook. Number 4 is Silence of the Lambs. Number 5 is City Slickers. Number 3 is Beauty and the Beast. Number 2, it's like, I don't know how, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, because nobody talks about that movie. And number 1 is Terminator 2, Judgment Day. So, pretty big year.
To be fair, I don't think this film has that big of a following. I don't think, even now. No, I think it's a bit of
no,
a
I think movie. It has a bigger one than Speed, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, sorry, I've just been looking at like Keanu Reeves as a general. I've lost all respect for Rotten Tomatoes at this point. They gave Point Break 69%.
Yeah, I buy that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's basically, it's a little even higher than what I give it. I give it 60.
Speed has 95%.
Oh.
How is that possible?
Okay, I guess we've got a bit of a Hook situation here.
It doesn't say 95%.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Five stars. Like, can I just say this? Like, nobody is going to be giving, like, a Paddington, like, 2.5 stars out of 5. That's just, like, no. Most people, like, are gonna, like, nobody's gonna give Paddington a rotten score. Like, if you do that, you've got no soul. There's a reason why that movie is like on 99% right now, because it's like a really nice movie. That's why Rotten Tomatoes, as a sign, it's fundamentally broken. Okay, like something like the live action Snow White is not as bad as like what 10%. Okay, it's only because most people are giving it like a rotten splat that is getting like 10% on like. Rotten Tomatoes is a broken site that doesn't make any sense. If you're going to go anywhere, go into IMDb. If you're not going to go there, go into Letterboxd, because that just makes like, no sense.
The advertising for this film was so...
Doesn't have Gary Busey on
was,
the title.
Was so clearly trying to make people think that Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves were together in this film. It's every friendship has its limits. Every man has his breaking point. Together, they take adventure past the point of no return. Point Break. It's 100% pure adrenaline.
Do you remember when taglines were like paragraphs? What is that?
It's so hard. And then the poster has crashing waves and Keanu and Patrick Swayze like just like mogging on the front of the poster.
Which is so weird, because I genuinely thought like Gary Busey should be on the poster.
No, he shouldn't.
He's in this thing way more than, I don't know, like he's in this thing way more than like Patrick Swayze is. I don't know, man. Okay, let's talk about like the remake, because, you know, yeah.
We can't have to.
So in 2015, which is weird because I really feel all that kind of remake. No, the Ghostbusters remake came out the year after. Okay.
Oh, the Ghostbusters remake. Oh.
Yeah. Let's not even get into that. It came out in 2015.
So here's what they changed in the film. So it became, instead of robbing banks in LA, they're global thieves.
Okay, because bigger obviously means
instead
better.
Instead of surfing, are looking for spiritual enlightenment through extreme sports such as wingsuit flying, snowboarding, and rock climbing.
So the title Point Break doesn't really make any sense, because that's a reference to like...
To the break, yeah.
Yeah, so what? You're, again, fundamentally broken right now.
And then
now.
Replacing the original film's focus on surfing and bank heists with a wider variety of stunts and more Robin Hood-like motivation, and casting a younger, former extreme athlete as FBI agent Utah instead of a former college football player.
All the makings of a successful movie, of course. This movie cost, I don't know why, where is this movie, where is it surfing? Oh yeah, it's more than surfing now, because it costs like $100 million. And I just don't think Point Break has a big enough following to be a movie that can make like more than $200 million.
What are the reviews of Point Break 2015?
Oh, they're awful.
It just looks bad.
No, they are genuinely
It just looks
awful.
Terrible. It looks like an...
Yes, 12%.
It looks like a murder movie, or it looks like an...
Plus, it kind of has that weird 2010s thing where, like, it just looks dirty.
It looks like an episode of Euphoria.
Yeah.
It's like a really weird knockoff episode.
No, it just
of
looks really, like look... Like, unlike the bright... kind of like colorfulness of like the original, like look how just like dirty that is.
I think it's not the best movie ever, but it just has this kind of magic
I think if they focused more on like the vibiness
of it,
it
just has to be enjoyable. It's like the Scooby-Doo short-lived live action movies. They suck, But oh, they're so
good.
Can I get asked,
are we going to do this one day? Because I've genuinely got such a serious soft spot for them.
They're so good.
They're so good. Do you get it?
Like,
I've never met somebody. I tried to make my sisters watch them and they were like, what the hell is this? I was like, does nobody understand the genius?
Where they're like, oh, it's so good.
Bro, can I, like, and they were written by, like, James Gunn as well.
Of course they were.
Yeah, no, because he originally wanted to make, like, a really, like, a more edgy version of like Scooby-Doo, but they originally had to like tone it back. But you can still feel those James Gunn system. One of these days, we're going to get to those movies, man. I really do like them.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Catherine Bigelow. First film in 8 years came out this month.
This month.
Oh, really? I didn't even know
I
that.
Did see
it. See,
a...
you know, that's the problem with, like, making films on Netflix. Unless you're, like, Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, nobody's ever going to know that you made
I don't even know if work. I want to watch that. So, yeah. Catherine Bigelow is... So, she kind of made Point Break, and then she just swerved into the world of war.
Yeah.
So, she did Point Break. She was like, this is cool. Okay, anyway. And she's made... Her most famous movies are The Hurt Locker, which is genuinely, like... masterpiece, in my opinion. Zero Dark 30, which is about the quest to find Bin Laden. It was made in 2012, so really poor timing there, guys.
What? Is it? No, Bin Laden... Just after they found it. It was 2011.
That's what they made it about.
Yeah, but straight after?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a bit interesting. And then she made K-19, which was a movie with... George Harrison.
Yeah.
Not George Harrison. Jesus.
Wait, what?
Harrison Ford and Liam Neeson and Peter Skarsgård. What is this cast?
Did we ever talk about like the fact that she was married to James Cameron or what?
She was married to James Cameron.
Yeah, and they divorced this year when it came out.
And she beat her husband at the Oscars, which is
for I don't know because Avatar's 2000. No, but Avatar's 2009. Hurt Locker's 2008.
No, it would have been for Terminator 2.
No, I'm very sure, because there was this whole debacle with, like widening out the amount of nominees in 2009. I think that's, like, 10 nominees for Best Picture. I'm very sure, like...
They went against each other, so maybe Hurt Locker
came
out in
2009 as well. No, like, okay, oh, it premiered in 2008 in September, and it came out in 2009. No. Okay.
Point Break's only award was a nomination for the MTV Movie Award.
Those are legitimate awards, man.
The most desirable male.
That's not even bad. Like
Keanu Reeves got nominated twice and Brad Pitt won for 7.
Okay, sure.
You also got Val Kilmer twice.
For Tombstone?
For Batman Forever and Heat. Val Kilmer is not desirable in Heat.
He's not desirable in Batman Forever either.
He just looks dirty, gross, like not. Then you've got Antonio Banderas and Mel.
Oh, is that for what's it called? The Mask of Zorro.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if this is the same year because this is '96.
But Catherine Zeta-Jones in the Mask.
The silence.
No, I'm just.
Oh, clip that.
Oh God.
Actually, that has been clipped. That is on record.
You should watch that movie though. Yeah, everybody talk about Antonio Banderas. 6 out of 10.
We do it out of 5, genius. Oh my god! Put it on Letterboxd. Subtle plug. Follow our Letterboxd.
Yeah.
We're called La Cosa Nostra.
Yeah, sure.
We drop high quality reviews.
Yeah, do we?
Okay. I don't think we do.
No, we don't.
These are the quality reviews.
Yeah,
we're on topic the whole time.
Yeah. I'm not a funny enough person to write good reviews on Letterboxd, so.
I don't write reviews. I just put the stars in the.
Yeah. How many movies have we done now?
Quite a few.
Because I've been waiting, when we get to 50. I don't even know. I think we're on, like, 30 right now.
I give this a 4 out of 5.
I give this a 3 out of 5. It's decent and stuff.
3.5.
It hurts.
No.
It hurts right here, man. It hurts right here.
Bro, okay.
I love this movie with, like, a lot
Gary,
of fun.
Gary Busey carries, just want to say.
No, he doesn't.
I like Keanu Reeves as an actor.
He was good in
that. I know, I don't like him as an actor. He's a decent human
being.
He's an amazing human being.
Like, as the final roundup, like, what an amazing human being Keanu Reeves is.
He's a really good guy.
Like, this man has been through, like, Peter Parker level awful life.
Yeah.
Like, and yet he's still going and he's still
delivering
like,
great performances like Shadow the Hedgehog and Sonic 3. I swear to God, it's good. I beg you, go watch
it. He's just really. I think he's quite a good comedy actor, like Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
His new movie is supposed to be quite funny. He's just.
Oh, one more thing to sign off on, and I just want this to sit with everybody. Keanu Reeves has declined on numerous occasions to star in Marvel movies, but he accepted the first offer to be in a SpongeBob movie. I'm just going to leave it at that.
And do I blame him?
No, I don't.
They asked him to play, like, Doctor Strange.
Yeah. No. Actually, I can see that.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that's what. Oh, I can completely see that.
I don't blame him for turning
down. But he accepted playing a tumbleweed in a SpongeBob movie.
Yes, because this man is here for vibes.
He's
only.
Here for the vibes, man.
And SpongeBob the movie was not that bad.
I think the first one's a masterpiece. I'm just gonna like.
His performance
I'm just gonna
as Tumbleweed A was amazing.
Oh my god.
on par with DiCaprio in any day of the week.
Definitely.
And with that note, thank you for listening. Yeah. I've been Eddie.
I've been Noah.